So, on this 11th day of Christmas, my true love interrupted my reverie and caroling, not with 11 pipers piping, but with an abrupt and unsettling story of fear, flight, and violence. Just when we might prefer to linger with angels and shepherds, Matthew pulls us into a very different scene. The Holy Family is on the run. A king is afraid, and children are slaughtered. That's the piece that's missing out of the lectionary today. We could talk about some of the more obvious connections, the Holy Family as refugees, fleeing state-sponsored violence, seeking safety in a foreign land. These connections are real, and they're important. But today I want to look at something else Matthew was showing us, a stark contrast that runs through this story and throughout all human history. Now, on one side, there's wonder and awe and trust and faithfulness. Shepherds, terrified by the appearance of angels, nonetheless listen, follow, and return home glorifying and praising God. Magi, educated, influential members of a priestly class, study the stars with patience and care, follow a sign they don't fully understand, and bow before a child whose power looks nothing like the power they know. On the other side, there's Herod, a ruler gripped by fear, intoxicated by his own importance, convinced that his power must be preserved at all costs. When he hears of a rival king, he does not seek wisdom or truth. He chooses violence. He chooses cruelty. He chooses the destruction of innocent lives, like the child at the back of our church right now. Through these starkly contrasting moral choices, Matthew shows us something deeply uncomfortable. The same world that produces worship also produces terror. The same human freedom that allows love also allows unimaginable harm. And yet, this is crucial, Herod's violence does not have the final word. Herod exercises real power. His actions cause real suffering. The grief in Bethlehem is not erased or minimized by God. But even this catastrophic evil was powerless to stop the loving will of God. God doesn't abandon the world to Herod's fearful aggression. God doesn't abandon these children to meaninglessness. And God doesn't abandon the promise made in Jesus. This pattern of selfish brutality is not unique to Herod. It echoes throughout Scripture and throughout history. Pharaoh, in the Old Testament, feared the growing population of Hebrew slaves and ordered the slaughter of infant boys. Yet God brought liberation through a child, hidden in a basket, floating into the very heart of Pharaoh's household. Again and again, human rulers attempt to preserve and even expand power through violence. And again, God works not through domination, but through love. The free will of those who commit evil and atrocities is powerless to stop the love of God. What makes this more unsettling is that this historical evil is rarely obvious in the moment. Tyrants don't usually rise to power announcing themselves as villains. They promise stability. They appeal to fear. They invoke national pride or economic security. Over time, cruelty becomes normalized. Violence and aggression are justified. The vulnerable are scapegoated. And people who might otherwise see themselves as good find themselves complicit. Which brings us uncomfortably close to home. We live in an intensely polarized world, constantly pushed to choose sides, political, cultural, ideological. Each side claims righteousness. Each side promises a return to something lost. And often the pressure is not just to choose, but to justify harm done in the name of that choice. So what do we do? How do we know in the moment which side is the right one? Jesus offers an answer that feels frustratingly inadequate and yet is deeply demanding. Instead of choosing sides, choose love. Choosing love is not the same as standing in the middle and doing nothing. This is not a call to neutrality. It's not a refusal to name evil. It is not a suggestion that all choices are equally good. And it certainly is not safe. Choosing love is costly. Love does not secure itself with violence. Love does not cling to power. Love does not sacrifice the vulnerable for the sake of stability. Love refuses to become what it opposes. And this is where Matthew's story becomes profoundly theological and deeply baptismal. When we renew our baptismal vows, we promise to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves. That promise doesn't come with exceptions. It doesn't say, except when we're afraid, or except when it costs too much, or except when others are labeled as threats. We also promise to strive for justice and peace among all people, and to respect the dignity of every human being, not just those who agree with us. Not just those who make us comfortable, every human being. These vows aren't abstract ideals. They're choices that we make in the real world every day, often under pressure, often in fear, often when it would be easier to harden our hearts. God chooses love when God gives humanity free will. Love that's coerced, that's not love at all. And so God risks rejection and distortion and even violence by giving us genuine freedom. With that freedom, we can choose compassion or we can choose cruelty. We can choose to protect life or we can choose to destroy it. God does not override our choices, even when those choices break God's heart. God then chooses love again by entering the world as a child, not as a warrior, not a ruler, not someone who's insulated from danger. Jesus enters the world in vulnerability, dependent on others, subject to political violence, forced to flee. In this story, salvation does not arrive through confrontation, but through escape, through patience, through trust. The Holy Family survives not by defeating Herod, but by refusing to play by his rules. And that matters. Because when we hear, "Choose love," we might imagine something gentle or sentimental. But in this story, love is fierce. Love protects life. Love listens to God's warning and acts quickly. Love uproots itself and crosses borders. Love bears uncertainty rather than inflicting harm. Choosing love doesn't pretend that evil doesn't exist. It means refusing to let fear turn us into what we oppose. It means telling the truth even when lying would be easier. It means recognizing Christ in those who are most vulnerable and choosing to protect life rather than preserve power. It means trusting that God is still at work, even when we cannot see the ending. God chooses love, even when that choice costs God everything. God does not eliminate suffering by force. God enters it. God does not prevent every tragedy. God remains present within it. And God promises that even the worst human cruelty will not have the final word. Herod had power. Jesus had love. And love outlasted Herod. So when we are pushed to choose sides, when fear is loud, when cruelty is justified, when power demands loyalty at the expense of the vulnerable, we return to our baptismal promises. We remember who we are. We remember whose we are. And we ask not, what side will make me feel safest? But where is love leading me, even if it costs me something? Because God has already chosen. God has chosen love and calls us to do likewise. Amen.